are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Today is Father's Day, a day in which we honor and offer gratitude to our fathers in whatever form or fashion they come into our lives. Biological fathers, stepfathers, adoptive and foster fathers, donor fathers, grandfathers, spiritual fathers, and all who, whether they know it or not, have helped to fill the role of father in someone's life. We are shaped by their presence and by their absence, by how they choose to act and when they abstain, by what they say and what they keep silent. Let us remember today and always the impact that these fathers have on us as individuals and as a community. And let us also remember that we, as a community, are called to support and empower the fathers of this world, no matter how they came into their roles, and regardless of their relative success or failure. Let us raise up their triumphs, and let us have the grace to forgive them for their all too human failures. Let us learn to love our fathers, just as we learn to love each other. Well, good morning and welcome to this service of worship. It's called a service because it's meant to serve you. And it's worship because we raise to worth things that matter. My name is Rob McPherson, minister of this church, welcoming you on behalf of generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. This is not a social club. This is not a salon of intelligentsia, nor is it a political action group. What we are is a radically inclusive spiritual community. We welcome everyone. It doesn't matter what God or gods you believe in or don't or are not sure about. It doesn't matter how you gender identify. My preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. It doesn't matter what political leanings you have, and it doesn't matter who you love or prefer to make love with. No matter who you are, you will find this a community that supports you as you find, fashion, and follow your own spiritual path. Whatever path helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all people. Please do join us after the service for coffee, tea, and conversation. Well, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. I hope you're going to be all loved up today and all that. However, in the Unitarian spirit of full inclusiveness, this service can't be all about you. I mean, come on, you get the whole day. What includes all of us sitting here today is that we all have or have had fathers or father figures, and maybe more than one. Whether we loved them or not, whether we even liked them or not, we are all some father's child, even if your father's presence in your life was an absence. So we raise to worth today not fathering, but fatherhood. Fathering is a biochemical reaction. The only material link between fathers and their offspring is an instant of blind spasm that transmits half one's DNA. But fatherhood is different. Fatherhood is about more than the tenuous material link with a male. Fatherhood is not about nature, but nurture. It's a foundational relationship, a skill, and a virtue, and thus a fit subject for raising to worth today. Fatherhood is a nurturing role taken on entirely voluntarily. You gotta want it. And this role called fatherhood evolves and is rewritten by generations over long arcs of historical time and place. And since it's a role that transcends time and culture, fatherhood is a role that is larger than the man who takes it on. Fatherhood thus carries a mythic dimension with it. That's Kronos, the father of the gods, time itself, which devours all its children. Before that role is assumed, every father just begins as a guy in the world at a particular time and place with a particular identity. In choosing fatherhood, he steps into that pre-existing mythic role, and like any actor, that role changes a man somewhat. But like any actor assuming a timeless role, the man also changes the role somewhat, and so the role itself gradually evolves. No two men do it or have done it in the same way, and yet the way your father did fatherhood will become the portal through which you view both the fatherhood role and, to an extent, the very nature of masculinity itself. So no pressure there, fellas. Calling it a role might imply there's a script to follow. All you've got to do is learn your lines, show up, do what the script says, and there will be applause at the end. But while there's plenty of direction for this role, there is no script. Most scripture is little help. Jesus devoted himself entirely to his work, and your Dan Brown fairy tales notwithstanding, never had kids to worry about getting to sleep at night. Jesus didn't have to worry about that. In fact, Jesus even required his followers to forsake family ties to follow him. This from the critic Terry Eagleton. Disdainful of kinsfolk. Not very upstandingly fatherly, is it? Not a pillar of the community. Buddha had a child he forsook to pursue his monastic path and saw the role as just another illusion to detach from. Nor does any cultural norm provide a fixed, unchanging script. I mean, we might look back at the way on the Victorians as role models of domestical correctness, but do we really want that arid emotional distance, that stern discipline, and the seen and not heard ethic of fatherhood? We might wax nostalgic about the 1950s, which produced a boom of post-war babies and thus a boom of post-war new dads, as a golden age of fatherhood and the family. But research shows fathers in the 1950s spent an average of 8 minutes a day with their children. Fathers now spend 200% more time with their kids than they did even in the 1970s. And the current cultural trend seems to be toward having more of father around. So how have we responded to that? Well, our own postmodern age has long abandoned the traditional paternal role, which used to cast all fathers as good fathers, strong, wise, capable, if remote, figures with a given moral authority. Now, the most recognizable father figures in popular culture are cartoons of inept dunderheads, at best a necessary but embarrassing life support system for kids, at worst constantly messing them up. So the cultural script has kept changing through my lifetime, at least. Well, that's okay, though culture changes the script and might now cast the father as the fool. Fathers can always rely on their instincts, right? Well, alas, science is split over whether or not there is an innate fatherhood instinct. Some scientists see traditionally masculine urges toward the protection and well-being of children as entirely learned from culture, which is always shifting. Others see these urges toward protection and well-being of children as genetically embedded from our hunter-gatherer past. Well, we are for sure not going to get to the bottom of that little conundrum here today. Let us simply say that when a man casts about for the script to the good father, he always finds somebody else's script, or an outdated script, or a comedic script, or a script in a language he doesn't even speak. Having no scripts matters because the stakes are high. I mean, the child starts out so small they can fit in your two hands. So it takes an enormous amount of everything to see the decades-long enterprise through to completion. Logistics, materials, will. And so with no fixed and reliable script, nothing really prepares you for the role of fatherhood but just doing it. Nothing prepares you for the swells of new, strange emotions that roll through you in great waves. Nothing prepares you for sacrificing whatever personal ambitions you may have had on the altar of paternal responsibility, like Abraham and Isaac. Nothing prepares you for the all-developing labor of it, the sheer mulish persistence you need for the numberless discrete daily tasks over decades. That's 20 years apart, those photographs. You see what happens when you feed them for 20 years? The good father is a tale of knowledge acquired on the run, in the moment. So fathers are not just acting a role, but they are in fact improvising. Which is to say that fathers are always doing things they technically don't know how to do yet until they do them. So given the unprecedented amount of time fathers now spend with their kids, which has never happened really before, in our culture at least, no wonder kids are able to see, through more exposure, that it is all an improvisation. And the more uncertain the whole show seems, especially when we still live in the shadow of the great big myth of the father, the gendered paternal role humans have ascribed to the all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving creative source of every goddamn thing. What huge, unwieldy, and uncool shoes to fill. Good fathers will, of course, fall short of omnipotence. Good fathers will fall short of omniscience. Good fathers will fall short even of benevolence at times. Freedom to improvise means fallibility. There are no perfect fathers because there are no perfect men. Even God's creative failure is high. If you don't believe me, see evolution, natural selection. So maybe give the old man a break. As high-stakes improvisers, fathers are bound to get some things right and some things wrong. Because this relationship is crucial to the development of our adulthood, us learning what constitutes maybe not a good father, but a good enough father, helps us become more adult at any age. Differentiating oneself from one's parents is how you become an adult yourself. We all need to figure out how this differentiation will work, what of our father's performance to take up and use, and what to let go through to the keeper. To whatever extent you have not yet fully and consciously negotiated this critical decoupling, you will not have moved into your most fully fledged adulthood. Some grown-ups, admittedly, never do. This wisdom on differentiation by Khalil Gibran, it's read by Bev Barry.
Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable.
Thanks, Bev. So differentiation doesn't just happen, it needs mindful discernment. And as it's Father's Day, I thought we might reflect on all this through a simple ritual that might help facilitate and nurture this peaceful differentiation to whatever extent it can still be useful to you. I do not disinclude myself from this. I mean, materially, half of me is my father. I both am him and am not him. His modeling of the role is the good father script I was given. But I don't need to copy it. I don't need to stick to it. I can, and I think I did, write my own. I did keep some hard feelings about my good father for years, for his lack of ambition, his lack of status, his lack of wealth, all of which I blamed for holding me back from my rightful place in the world. Forever the victim of a poor patrimony I didn't deserve and tried to rise above, but carrying such a grudge as that was really a way of clinging on. Forever a victim means forever the infant. Nursing those resentments, staying focused on what he was not, meant I hadn't yet become a fully fledged adult. Well, children expect the world of parents, but the expectation that fathers won't struggle in their improvised performance, never meet the critics' approval all the time, is never realistic. This hit me recently when my sister and I discovered pictures of my dad as a first-time father, newly home from war in the Pacific, changing roles from warrior to nurturer. I saw that he too was trapped by time and place in a set of givens, and so expecting him to be other than what his life had made him was like blaming the ancient Greeks for not being more feminist. I grew up within limits. He grew up within limits, just like me. He could never have transcended those limits any more or be any more perfect than I could be in my own highly improvised fatherhood. He disappointed me sometimes. I disappointed them sometimes. He wasn't always there. I wasn't always there. And yes, he could on occasion be hurtful. And so could I. He was a really good father, but far from perfect. Which of us is? The good news is that research shows that there are astonishingly few exceptions to the rule that most fathers do in fact feel love for their children. And whatever my father's imperfections and limitations, and whatever my own, there was certainly no absence of feeling love. And his love was certainly enough for me to return it. A mature, differentiated relationship is a reciprocal one. Differentiating from one's own father and thus becoming mature at whatever age, whether man or woman, requires a bit of sorting out of what to keep of him and what to leave behind. In other words, to become an adult relies in part on forgiving one's parents. And forgiveness is a very grown-up thing to do, is it not? This does not mean to deny character flaws or condone any misdeeds that may attach to them. But to whatever extent we do not forgive, we do not separate. We remain clinging like babies. We'll not stop seeing ourselves as children who depend on them for our emotional well-being. We'll not stop seeing ourselves as victims. We'll not fully claim the capacity and responsibility to shape our own life as adults. I forgave my father far later than I would have wished, which means that well into midlife, I thought as a child, and spoke as a child, and acted as a child. But it's finally up to us to put away childish things. Sadly, there are no formal rites of passage in our culture anymore that mark childhood's end, and as a result, some adults do remain children all their lives. You know that's true. The beginning of my adulthood was not turning 18 or getting a job or even fathering children myself. It was sort of thrust upon me by being around by chance for my father's last days. And as his mind became unstuck in time and memory, and he spooled back into time long past, I saw the truth that his life was a long touring show, and in it, I was a supporting role. I had an important scene or two, but I wasn't the whole story. We always see ourselves as absolutely the solar center of our parents' lives, but we aren't really, and we can't be. He may not have been the father I always wanted, but I suspect that neither was I the son he always wanted. And that seems to rather balance out. It feels reciprocal, something like justice. What in the world makes us think we are entitled to have our parents retrofit themselves to meet our fussy, godlike expectations and specifications? You don't need such extreme circumstances as mine to differentiate, but when you do, you realize what it is you will be missing when they do leave the stage for good. A real, balanced, reciprocal relationship with a flawed fellow human being, but the one human being who is probably one of the few people on earth almost guaranteed to love you unconditionally, whether they show it to your satisfaction or not. I still think of my father every day, but I take comfort in the fact that having differentiated, I no longer mourn him. Would you really want your children to never get over losing you? There are few things more crucial to developing spiritual maturity than our being able to forgive one another. To forgive one another. And since you always hurt the ones you love the most, family is a pretty good place to start forgiveness. People have generally misunderstood the way forgiveness works, as described in a prayer sometimes called the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The original Greek sense of the line implies reciprocity. It means that we are forgiven as we forgive. As we turn our hearts more toward forgiving others, we turn ourselves into the sort of person who will have less to be forgiven for. We become what we do. That old patriarchal prayer puts the ball fully and finally in our court, which is as it should be. Why should you be entitled to something you're not willing to give others? And which of us doesn't need forgiveness on occasion? Well, you've been given slips of paper and writing implements. I want you to take out those post-its now, a green one and an orange one. Okay? And this is the little ritual we've devised. On the orange slip, I want you to write down one thing about your father that you still need to forgive. Fold it twice and put it in this bowl when it comes around. Now, one thing about this bit of paper is that no one will ever read this. It is confidential. It's between you and God, essentially. On the green sheet of paper, write down one single quality you would keep of your father's and pass on to others. Fold it twice, but hang on to the green one. And we're going to exchange and share a few of these. So while Brendan plays, please, just in silence and in respectful privacy for a moment or two. So much for us to let go of and put by, so much mere human weakness to forgive. May we now and forever release these things we have written today and harbored, the better to gentle our hearts and walk our days in this world in full and free maturity. Now, the green papers you have kept, these are unlooked for gifts from fatherhoods you never knew. And you can also know that what is or was best of your father does also live in you, and more importantly, is yours to father forth into others, into the world. I am certain your father would want that little bit of immortality more than all the socks and chocks and Bunnings gift cards that ever were or will be. Let us honor our good enough fathers by going forth to bring our world to the greater maturity it is so in need of. Let that be your father's legacy. Let that be your birthright as their child. And let that be your generous patrimony to the world. Amen. There is too much hardship in this world not to seek for joy every day. There is too much childishness in this world not to seek maturity. There is too much resentment in this world not to right the balance every day. There's too much pain in this world not to take the initiative to heal thyself. May each of us father forth such ministry as this to a weary world all our days. Let us go forth now and do that which calls us to make this world more loving, more compassionate, more forgiving, more filled with wisdom and grace every day. Our fathers would wish it so. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.